You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
At the end of the day, it's just like, I don't want to be a piece of shit. You know, I do want to like, I do have goals in my life. I do, you know, like I'm a very, I get fidgety. I do a lot of things, you know, so I don't know. I just need things to keep me busy in order to not engage in vices sometimes, you know? And I feel like that's an honest thing about like a lot of creative people and like, you know, people that were on tour like all the time, you know? It's like now they need to find other outlets to like keep their mind busy and going. And I think sometimes your natural reaction is to like try and shut off your brain, you know, for a while, because you don't know what to do with yourself. But yeah, it's not always healthy after, you know, after a while, you know, so.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I most certainly hope that you've been having an excellent week. I most certainly have been. Before we jump into today's episode, I would just like to encourage you to subscribe to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice if you have not already. But more than that, I'd also like to encourage you to rate the podcast and write a review, because when you do that, more metalheads just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I'd also like to invite you to join the party. That's right. You should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list, and you can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That is voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that previous week. If I have been a guest on someone else's podcast, there will also be the links for any upcoming live interview Thirsty Thursday virtual hangs, as well as the links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is available both on Spotify and Apple Music and is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. Do yourself a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. This is a party that you do not want to miss. Now, I'm very stoked to jump into today's episode, which is, of course, the live interview, which was conducted at last week's Thirsty Thursday virtual hang. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 240 with Charles Elliott and Eliseo Garcia of Abysmal Dawn.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today, I am with Eliseo Garcia and Charles Elliott of Abysmal Dawn, and we are recording this interview at live Thirsty Thursday virtual hang with the Thirsty Thursday gang. How are you two doing? It is excellent to be back with you. We have known each other for quite some time. We first met on tour together with Cannibal Corpse and Obituary back in 2016, and we've been friends since then. It was a pleasure to have you both on the podcast. It's good to catch up with you now. Let's start with an easy, how are you guys doing tonight?
Eliseo, you always take the tough questions first.
I'm trying to not go crazy with the whole pandemic thing, but good. Tonight's good. Happy to be here. Happy to see you, Garrett, and a bunch of other people, a lot of friends. So it's cool.
I needed to get drunk with other people for once. So that's good. I like that.
Sounds like you guys need some reprieve. funnily enough, I feel like the last show that I saw before the pandemic was just about a year ago now, was actually you guys with Vader and Hideous Divinity and Vitriol at Fufun Electric. And what a show that was. What a great night that was. That was actually the night that I had a chat with Eliseo. And I feel like that was the last show I saw before the pandemic. You were one of the last bands out there touring. Take me to that moment, being those last people out on the road when everyone else had to pull the plug. Was there whispers even at that time when you were touring about having to potentially cancel that tour?
Yeah, I remember. I think Origin had just started their tour at the same time.
Absolutely.
like they just started it. We were like towards the end, and I know they were trying to stick it out and finish their tour. We ended up actually, we did finish ours. I think all the quarantine stuff happened like right after, like a week after we got back. But yeah, there was definitely whispers of it. I mean, I definitely made some inappropriate jokes on stage about it. I don't know. yeah, I mean, we didn't take it that seriously. I mean, I think, you know, like showing my age, obviously, with what is it? I mean, I remember like, you know, avian flu, swine flu, right? Been on tour during a swine mm-hmm. flu epidemic. Actually, that was when Garrity was there. He was there. and everyone that didn't want to be on tour just said they had swine flu so they could drop off. So, yeah, but we wanted to finish our tour. So, I don't know. We didn't take it too seriously. And then we started seeing like all the actual like, you know, shutdowns and stuff after.
I think like within the 2 days of us crossing the Canadian border to get back into the States, that's when Canada basically said no more Americans are allowed over. It was within a few days for sure. And then we also had the Hideous Divinity guys who are from Italy. So obviously they were like ahead of the pandemic a couple months. But I know I was thinking, I was like, oh, that's never going to happen over here. And lo and behold, literally like a week after we got home, everything shut down. So we went from being 15 people packed in a bus to being packed, just being stuck at home with right after we got back from tour. So,
and everyone got sick, obviously, as you always do on tour. And some people got more sick than others. I don't know if we ever actually, you know, got the coronavirus or anything. I remember when I got back from tour, as I usually do, my body fails. Like once I get home, you know, it's like, all right, you stayed healthy enough on tour. Now you can just give up and just lie down and, you know, so I don't know. But also I remember our heat on the bus wasn't working half the time. So that was fun. Everything was like freezing inside there. So if we got sick, it was probably for other reasons, but yeah.
It was really early, so it's hard to know if it was actually the virus or not at that point, right? Whereas now you would have those symptoms and you would go get tested immediately. It would be as part of the protocol. Whereas back then it was like, you got sick, you stayed home, and that was it. And that fucking bus, I have been on that bus for two tours. I know exactly the green, teal bus you're talking about, and it's an absolute disaster, yeah. But I've had many a good night on that bus.
The driver liked to fuck with us, and actually he turned up the heat on us a couple times because somebody was complaining that the heat wasn't working, so he literally would turn it on while we were trying to sleep, and it was the worst. That's probably what got a lot of people sick.
Sweating,
actually.
Just dying.
Yeah, just dying in the back. Oh.
Yeah, fun stuff like that, you know? That's what it's all about, right? Living the dream.
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends and talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. What beers do you guys have on your side that we're going to be sharing virtually tonight?
I mean, I have a couple that I have, but they're both from North Coast Brewing. Scrimshaw is what I'm starting with. Probably move to a Prankster later, so we'll see.
Very nice. How about you, Alicia?
I have a couple in the fridge that I'm saving for a little bit later. I actually went shopping yesterday. A couple sours. I don't know exactly which breweries, but right now I have... my friends actually started their own home brewing, so it's theirs.
Very cool.
They were doing some extract stuff, but now this is their first replication of a different kind of process. It's Four Buds Brewing. They just literally started, and it's a dinosaur hair something. Recipe. It's pretty good.
I love that. And, you know, a lot of people do that to end up saving money because they drink a lot of beer and they end up becoming brewers because of that. So I hope that that happens for them. On my side, I'm drinking a very cool beer. It's from a very young brewery, a brewery that doesn't even open yet. I got invited to go visit them tonight here in Montreal. They are literally on my way home from work. It's incredible. I step out of the subway, the metro, and I take this particular way home, and it's on that path. So that's good news for my craft beer needs. Who knows what it means for other things, but this is a Melon Brasserie. This is brand new, very, very young, and this is their India Pale Lager. It's been double dry hopped. It's like a hybrid type brew, and it's been double dry hopped with Motueka and Nelson Sauvin. I had some at the place. I decided to use some tonight because I'm just so excited that they decided to invite me to experience this new young brewery. Very exciting. I'm going to crack this. I'm going to pour this out. As I do that, I would like to hear about, since our last chat, have you become more of a craft beer enthusiast? Has being a Vox and Hops alumni made you more of a hophead?
I don't know, man. Ever since I grew this beard, I just drink IPAs all day. That's all I do. I don't know. More of enthusiasts.
You should have worn your PBR.
Oh, dude, I thought about it. I don't know if I ever told you. one of my birthday celebrations, we did a brewery tour in San Diego, and I happened upon a bunch of free PBR merch. So I dressed head to toe like an asshole on the tour with just like PBR wristbands, socks, headband or something, and like glasses and a shirt and just the whole fucking nine. And I remember a tour guide saying something, though, like, he's like, oh yeah, it's Mr. PBR. Yeah, he taught a lot of the brewers on our tour how to brew. I'm like, really? This is just a fucking joke. Like, I wasn't taking this seriously at all. And I remember we ran into like tourists from like Australia or something on that, and they were sitting next to us, and I felt like kind of ashamed, like I looked like the typical like American douchebag on there, and I had to be like, no, but it's a joke, sorry, like, you know, hey. But yeah, they didn't get it anyway.
That's killer. How about you, Alessio? Have you become more of a hophead since you've been a Vox and Hops alumni?
Definitely, like, experimenting more, but I can't say, like, I can't say that I know all the everything that goes into brewing or anything else. I find it interesting, but I'm the kind of person that when I invest myself into it, like, I want to dive in, and I don't have that kind of time for it, so I kind of keep it at bay.
I used to go to, like, a lot of brewery festivals, or, like, festivals. I used to go to that vegan beer fest that they have in LA all the time. And that was fun. I learned that beer wasn't vegan. That was interesting. Not all beer is vegan. But anyway, yes.
Yeah, fucking lactose is milk sugar, dipshit.
Right on. See, that's why I have you around.
There's that, as Garrity, our scientist.
No, but, you know, most beer is vegan, but I think, you know, like a lot of like stouts and like English ales and stuff like that have, you know, like fish oil and other things like that.
So yeah. They use a piece of the fish bladders to filter the beers is really what makes most beers not vegan.
Mm.
So most really clear beers use a piece of fish in it, which is why they're not vegan.
Gotcha.
Let's dance into, you guys had just dropped a record right when all this happened. You guys are on this high. The Vader tour was super killer. And then there's this lull. How have you been filling the void of performing on stage? For myself, I'm very lucky that I have these interviews where I get to hang out with you guys and ask questions before we start. I always wonder, did I prepare enough? Am I, you know, I get that same little pre-show jitter. How do you guys fill that void?
That's a tough one to answer.
I'll give you some time. I'll talk about this beer that I just cracked, this Melon Brewing. They brewed it out of Avant-Garde because their brew system is still not in operation. They're waiting for their permit. It's crazy melon on the nose, this India Pale Lager. And crisp and delicious. Cheers. Okay, have you been filling the void? Alessio, Charles, you guys got to been up to something to keep you guys going.
You go first, Charles.
Wallowing in self-pity, drinking a lot. No, I don't know. I've been doing like a lot of recording and mixing for bands, stuff like that. Recorded a project for Max Cavalera and his son Igor recently. Stoked that's coming out.
With Zach on drums.
Yeah, there you go. Go Ahead and Die, yeah.
From True Brewing, another Vox and Ops alumni right there.
That's fun. Yeah, he showed up with some beers. Keep me. Yeah,
of course he did.
That was great. So yeah, that was awesome. But yeah, I guess mostly that, working the day job, and you know, there you go. There you have it. Besides the walling and self-pity and drinking, yeah, that's That takes up the rest of my time.
How about you, Alicia?
Going from that high of like the tour, releasing the record, it was definitely kind of a bummer. Like we worked really hard on the record, and you know, obviously, it becomes very difficult to actually do any kind of touring for it, or that's really the last way to get out there. So that was definitely a bummer for everybody. I've been filling the void by same thing as Charles, wallowing in self pity. But also just focusing on work and trying to kind of build healthy habits as much as possible with the current reality. But that's really kind of it.
Yeah, I started jogging recently. That's and less wallowing in self-pity. I don't know. I guess after a while you get over it, right?
I like that. Talk me through that morning or the afternoon. What went through your mind as you were lacing up your sneakers before hitting the pavement? What was that?
It's like, Jesus, I'm fat. I didn't work out. That was basically it. No, I don't know. Yeah, man, like this whole fucking year, man, it's just cooped up and, you know, trying to reflect and not sure what to do with your life. I mean, we've been like touring and, you know, so used to like going out there and hitting the road for a couple years. And then you don't have that anymore, especially after like taking so long to write a record. And it's pretty fucking devastating, like, to be honest. And then you got to figure out what, you know, well, like, then you sit around and you're like, well, what do I do with my time? I got all this free time. You have all this energy and you need to figure out how to use it constructively. But like for the first couple months of it, you're like, you know, whatever. We got a first couple months of like fucking around and being indoors. You know, it's cool. Like drink for a while. But after a while, it's like, all right, maybe this isn't going to like change anytime soon. And maybe these are turning into unhealthy habits. So you got to like, you know, maybe be a little bit better. As I say, as we drink beer, obviously, this beautiful North Coast Brewing Scrimshaw beer. But yeah, man, like, I don't know. I think, you know, in the new year, I've been trying to like, I took time off drinking for a little bit, to be honest, just to prove out to myself that I wasn't an alcoholic. And now I don't know, things are better. I feel like I'm in a better place and, you know, focused on doing constructive things. And but yeah, man, it's been rough. Like I hope that we can get out there on the road again and promote this record and play more than like two songs than we got to play live, you know, from it. We'll see what happens, you know.
You will for sure. It's all going to come back. But it was a scary year, you know, and at the first, as you mentioned, you were on stage making some jokes that you probably shouldn't have, because who knew if it was actually a serious thing, to it becoming a very serious thing. And it was a scary thing at first. It's still scary now, but there was so much unknown at first, which was really terrifying. And then the year just kept progressing. And then here we are, we sort of see a light at the end of the tunnel. So I think that might be why you're finally focusing a bit more on the positive, because you can see, oh, I got to come out of this better than I was before. That's what I've been striving to do. How do you think about that?
Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like, I don't want to be a piece of shit. You know, I do want to like, I do have goals in my life. I do, you know, like I'm a very, I get fidgety. I do a lot of things, you know? So, like, I don't know. I just need things to keep me busy in order to not engage in vices sometimes, you know? And I feel like that's an honest, thing about like a lot of creative people and like, you know, people that were on tour like all the time, you know. It's like now they need to find other outlets to like keep their mind busy and going. And I think sometimes your natural reaction is to like try and shut off your brain, you know, for a while, because you don't know what to do with yourself. But yeah, it's not always healthy after, you know, after a while, you know. So
definitely had moments of questioning like mortality and, you know, how time is. This year felt really trippy in the sense that it's flying by, but at the same time, it's like you're standing still. So it was definitely caused a lot of depression for me. But at some point, I got sick of that. And it's just about forcing yourself to get up and keep going a little bit. So, yeah.
Excellent. You guys have to work together to keep each other positive and keep moving forward together. Find some goals.
I'll just bench press Alicia every once in a while, like, you know.
See, now that's a video that everyone wants to see. And you know, staying in contact with your fans is something that is important throughout the pandemic. As I know your publicist is watching now, so I'm sure she's interested in this question, is how have you guys stayed in contact with your fans throughout the pandemic, and what are your goals in the future to keep staying in touch with them?
Alicia just slides into all their DMs and asks them creepy questions. No, I'm just kidding. Fuck, man. That's a hard one, because we've had a hard time with that, because, you know, we get caught up in other things, and I'm a busy person. Alicia is a busy person. Our main outlet for promoting the band has always been touring. We're not like as big on the social media aspect and stuff like that. I mean, and to be honest, we get kind of, I don't know, like overwhelmed and sort of disgusted with ourselves if that we would have to like do certain things, you know. We get tired of it. I mean, like, I have no problem with doing interviews and certain things, like, this is awesome, you know, we love you, and like just the hangout and all that, but you know, we're not like one of those bands that love fucking selling themselves online all day, you know. It's just hard for us. It just kills kind of the joy of it, and that's part of what's been a little bit depressing about this, is because, you know, we don't want to do those types of things. We're like, man, maybe we should be more active online or whatever. But then it starts feeling like a job, and we feel like a bunch of fucking doofuses. Like, I don't know.
Not just that it feels like a job, but it does that line of like, when do you not feel genuine anymore? Right? Like, where it's just seeking attention. It's a little hard to cross that. And I think that's what we struggle with, to be honest with you. So we definitely try to find ways to stay engaged. Like Charles did the Slay at Home Fest, where he played with Dirk and Steve DiGiorgio.
So did
the tune
you.
Cover. I did it with Frank and Zach, actually. We're just trying to find creative ways that still feels genuine to us. But that's also difficult, because it's not difficult, but it's just there's so much content out there. So it's the challenge of being genuine, but also making sure that it's impactful. And that's where it's a little hard.
Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned that you only got to play two tracks from the new record on that Vader tour. What are some tracks from that record that you wish you could play and bring to the fans?
Fuck, honestly, all of them. We worked so hard on that record that all of them were meant to be played live, you know?
We're also just a little sick of playing old stuff.
Yeah.
No, but we definitely all of them. If I had to pick personally, probably like Soul Sick Nation, and that's definitely one. And I don't know. What if you had to pick one, Charles? What do you think?
Mundane Existence would probably be fun. Path of the Totalitarian. I mean, I liked all the songs released as singles, basically.
It was a killer album. It is a killer album. And you guys will get time to tour it, especially if you want to go to Texas right now. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the states that are opening up.
Oh, fuck. Hold on. Our publicist is here. Is this a trap? Hold on.
I keep getting myself in trouble recently, but I am curious of when exactly do you think touring will come back? What is your opinion on that? I asked Gary the same question when I had him on.
I think you might start... You're probably going to start seeing some shows pop up left and right, like towards the summer, I think, whether it's like Europe or the US. But I think a full tour that is realistic, probably not until next year, to be honest with you. Because there's a lot of other questions you got to consider, like what venues are still in business after all this, and how are the tours actually going to be, you know, managed with the drives and everything else? Like, what's really realistic? What bus companies are still going to be around? Like, it's an entire industry that was impacted. So it's not as simple as just turning the lights back on. At least I don't think so.
I mean, think of all the promoters that went tits up during this whole thing, you know, the venues, everyone that wasn't bought up by Live Nation, you know what I mean? That just are not around anymore. I suppose there'll be people to fill the gap. A lot of bands are all going to want to tour at the same time. There's going to be less venues. Maybe new promoters are like pop up. They're not the most reputable yet. You know, they don't have those relationships built. They'll book the show because, you know, they seemingly had the money to do it. But I don't know, man. It is looking like I'm hoping next year. I guess we'll just have to see.
You'll likely see some festivals at some point, you know. I see people talking about PsychoFest. I'm really curious if that's going to happen. I hope it does, but who knows?
Absolutely. It's a strange time. I think being prudent is the way to approach. I've been very vocal about it on the podcast before that I would just wait until everything is safe. And we can move forward at that point and we can find other ways to connect. I'm interested in asking Charles about the label approach. How is the label, I don't know how much you're allowed to talk about this, changed since the pandemic?
A corporate video, instructional video that I watched said, I am not a representative of, or a legal representative of the label, and I cannot talk about these subjects. I don't know, man. What do you want to know? How have things changed? I'll just tell you everything. What do you want?
I'm wondering if how much has it changed running a label when bands can't tour it to promote the records. Has it changed that much for the record industry?
There's a larger focus on digital, absolutely, and you know there's I don't remember the percentage. I mean, it might have been but digital's gone up a crazy amount, streaming that is, since the pandemic. Vinyl sales have gone up like 100%, but plants have slowed down and you know have problems with. Their own problems with the pandemic too. So sometimes plants close down there's a lot of problems there too. So it's hard to meet the demand of vinyl right now.
Very interesting. One last question for me, and then I'm going to throw you over to the Thirsty Thursday gang. We also have James, the drummer of Abysmal, that just walked into the room. Feel free to say hi to him as well. How you doing, James?
Chilling. I've never done this whole shit, so I don't even know if I'm being heard right now. Am I?
You're doing good. You're doing good.
Okay, cool. I've never been on Zoom. I'm chilling. Yeah, just set up. Woke up late from a good old bong nap. So realized that Toronto time's a little bit different than 4:20 over here, but, you know.
Oh, it's good to see you. You have not changed. I love it. Let's wrap this up. I don't think I know I didn't ask this to Charles. I'm not sure if I asked Alessio this question. It happens to everyone every now and then, but maybe a lot during the pandemic for Charles because he said he overindulges a bit. But what is your hangover cures?
Greasy food.
Hair of the dog can be good. I don't know. Yeah, greasy food, I guess. Like Gatorade or... You know, the Pedialyte thing does okay. Trying to think. I feel like I had other alternatives, but they're looting me right now. I drank too much. Not right now, over the years, though, yeah.
Hey, what's up, Fox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right, I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates. that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. Perfect. I'm so stoked I had the chance to throw some questions at you. I'm sorry if they were tough and heavy, but it was the way I was feeling it tonight. Raise your digital hands if you would like to ask a question to Eliseo, Charles, or James, and I will allow you to do that. We got Garrity with his hand up first. Go for it, Garrity.
Play the fucking Dissection cover. That would have been great. Could have fucking ripped that shit. That shit ruled. Also, Charles, sweet fucking mustache, digging it.
Up next, we have Philippe Dervites.
Hello. How are you guys?
How you doing,
man? What's up, man?
So my question, which is not really my question, is because Evan, the after party king of Vox and Ops, is not here. I will proxy his question for him, so he will thank me later. So if your band could have a mascot, what would it be and what would be his name? You are free to think about it, so think about it.
I have to give this one to Charles. Charles will...
Ah, fuck. No, because then I'm going to say something that's going to get me canceled or something. But let's do something else. Pick someone else. Eliseo, you're a minority. Say something. You're safe.
I'm trying to think of, like, what are the mascots that are, like, really, really miserable? Yeah, I mean, abysmal. It kind of goes with the personality a little bit and kind of works. But I don't know what mascots are like.
The cat.
Abysmal cat?
Yeah, the
whiskey, right?
Angry cat.
Yeah.
Ah, dude, whiskey. I miss that cat.
Charles's cat whiskey is probably would be the great mascot.
Let's do a shirt for your cat, a shirt of Evan's Maldon, and you just bring him on the tour or something. That could be fun.
I don't know what the shirt minimums are for that one, but I definitely would buy one. So you know, that's good.
You can do an easy 96 for sure.
Yeah, nice. Not full color though.
Yeah.
Well, he was gray and white, so you know, works out.
Up next, we have Jorge.
Hi guys, thanks James, thanks Charles and Eliseo for being here with us. Really appreciate it, man.
Oh, man.
The question is, so far, think of your most memorable gig. Which one has been? Could be the worst, the best, the most fun, something weird happened. I don't know. Tell us about your most memorable gig so far.
So we had a tour that was in South America. And if everybody doesn't know, I guess those don't always happen. So, well, actually, Charles, you go ahead. You tell the story. You're probably better at it.
So, you know, being the Nazi in my band that I am, apparently, I was trying to get everyone to get their work visas and all that stuff in order, so we could play Brazil, right? And get their passports, get what do you call it? Your inoculations, your shots, whatever, before you go to Brazil and all that stuff. So, we do the online thing, and I think I tried to do it for everyone, just to make it easy, because Brazil, you get your work visas or travel visas or whatever through them online. So I think I did it for the whole band, and for whatever reason, mine wasn't approved, but everyone else's was approved, and I didn't know why. And they have a really shitty like system, visa system, like online, like they don't tell you like what, why it's taking long or why it's rejected or whatever. We had a friend in, that does, you know, work visas and stuff like that for bands. And I think she was looking at, my passport and saw that my passport was expiring that year. And she's like, oh, well, maybe that's it. You know, maybe, or maybe it was like a few months, like after, we're going to be in Brazil. So I think it was, the day before. Yeah. Was it the day before? Yeah. The day before I went to the federal building to expedite a new passport. And like, maybe like as I was like walking away or from the building or something, I got the email showing that my passport, my work visa was approved under my old passport. So, so I was like, fuck. So I booked, an appointment at the Brazilian consulate, to expedite my, my visa for Brazil. And, yeah, so I don't know, but you know, I need to print out shit. My printer wasn't working. And then, I ended up fucking like going somewhere to get it printed. And then, you know, and then I think
the appointment was for the day of our flight. The appointment at the consulate was the morning of our flight.
So then like, and then someone wanted to go out drinking. So I'm like, all right, cool. Let's fucking drink. And then we just drank all night and then I woke up early that morning and, went to the Brazilian consulate and, which is in the Larry Flint building, by the way. It seemed fitting somehow. So we're in the Brazilian consulate. I get my, my passport approved for like 10 years. And, But then like this is hours before my flight. Basically, I get approved and I make it to my place, and everyone leaves for the airport from my place. And then we meet like Fred Armisen as we're standing in line to check in for our flight, or check in all our gear. And I think, you know, he's standing next to us and he saw that we had like the huge guitar boat. You know, we like to travel with one of those so we can lose all our guitars at one time, you know? So we had that and he was looking at us and I think I was looking at him he started talking to me and I was like, what the fuck? Fred Armisen's talking to me. All right. And I was like, yeah, I knew who he was. And then everyone else, Vito was like all fucking, like, no way. Like, he just, like, didn't believe it or something. And he took a picture with us, and then we ended up exchanging, like, contact information or something. We said, because he asked where we were playing, and I think we showed him the flyer, and he's, like, he was all down. And we're like, dude, he's not down. He doesn't care, right? He's just telling us he likes this type of shit. And then, but we emailed him later, and we're like, ah, let's just do it. Let's see if he shows up. And he totally did. He showed up. He was on the side of the stage the whole time. Dude. It was cool.
It was rad. And then it was just like the fans over there in South America in general. So that's overall, it's just, it's ridiculous. They're insane. It was, yeah, that's probably that whole trip, everything. That's why it was so memorable.
Now here's me being a marketing, my mind going, why haven't you hit him up to get him to do something virtually with a video for you guys?
That goes back to our
being genuine and not being telling genuine, our souls.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but he's a fan, so it is genuine.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, you want to hit him up for us? You should be our manager, Matt. I'm like, fuck, you suck.
Well, I take at least 66.666%.
Is that a lot?
Up next, we have Jerry with a G.
Yo, yo, what up, everybody? Couple questions. I have a lot more, but I'm just going to cut it to two. One is for Matt. You had sober February. What's the first beer you had as soon as March 1st hit at 12 a.m.? And second one, Blake's on here. Huge Pig Destroyer fan, for those of you already on here know that. You guys planning on doing Psycho still?
For myself, I was actually booked on March 1st to do an event, a live roundtable discussion for Le Mondial de la Bière, which is the World Beer Fest, which happens in three places: in Montreal, in Brazil, and in Paris. And we had five beers to drink on Monday night, which was March 1st, to taste on March 1st. And the first beer I drank was Boreal's Kolsch de la Rivière. Was the first one that I had after. Blake, do you want to answer that question? If you're allowed to answer that question. You'd have to unmute yourself, Blake.
So, thank you for the shout out. The plan is, yes. We've been trying for years to get on Psycho Vegas. But like someone mentioned in the chat, you know, most of the anchor bands are from overseas, so I really don't know. They have been sort of asking us to promote it, but very minimally. So, you know, it's kind of hit or miss whether it's going to happen. But we are planning on it as of yet. I'm getting my first vaccine on Sunday. The rest of the band is starting to fall in line with that, too. So we're going to start practicing old material and new material. So can I ask my Abysmal Dawn question?
Go for it. Yeah.
So is it true that your original band name was Abysmal Yawn? You can mute me.
You can do that, man. You have that power? All right, cool. Now, yes. I prefer, was it Abysmal Dong? Abysmal Dong?
Abysmal Fawn.
Fawn? Abysmal Prawn? Prawn, yeah. Like the shrimp. What else? Abysmal Yawn? Abysmal Blonde? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't that supposed to be our beer? Abysmal Blonde.
Dude, that's a good name for a beer.
Abysmal Blonde. There you go.
Up next, we have Kate. Go for it.
Okay, so first and foremost, I feel like it might be a little too late to say this, but like, don't worry. You guys really can't embarrass us any more than some of the other bands on this label. So just like say what you want. But also, you know, I just really... I feel like some people here are being polite about Charles' facial hair. Charles, what happened? What happened?
You know, it was one of those things where I was like, dude, I mean, we went hiking like what, last weekend, Alicia?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't have this last week, right?
No, I was really amazed. I was like,
right? See?
Well, I'll let Kate say. Well,
see, this is what happens. Puberty hits. I'm just letting you know, Alicia.
Okay, that's what it looks like.
No, I don't know. I just figured, you know, fuck it. It was one of those like quarantine things I would do, grow it out and see what happens. Yeah, probably not going to keep it, but right on. I don't know. I haven't had like a beard or goatee since like, you know, fucking in high school or something, which always...
Has anybody asked you for a mustache ride?
not recently, no. Mm-mm.
Well, I'm just going to let you know right now that if this band is going to deliver photos and you have that going on, then everyone in the band needs to have that. If they were going with a handlebar look, I would appreciate if we all got on board with it.
Yeah, right? Because I think like, fuck, I think at one time everyone had a fucking goatee like I did, right? Police. I can't
grow facial hair, so okay. No, I don't think so.
So though it was.
Oh, we're the same, Alicia. Yes. I like that.
So I guess it was a Scott and Andy area.
Incapable. Yeah.
But yeah.
Up next we have Yalay. But as a preface, I want to talk about a beer from his neighborhood. This is Cinquième Baron, one of Quebec's best young breweries. They started less than a year ago, or just about a year ago. They got top three new brewery. Am I correct there on ratebeer.com, Yanai?
Yeah, top three new brewery in the world.
I know, it's insane. And they're killing. This is their Amethyst. Am I saying that right?
Yep, Amethyst.
And it's killer. This is a New England IPA, 7%. Super hazy, super juicy, super well balanced. Some mango, some tropical. Nose going on, just killer. Go for it, Yanai, and feel free to give a little pitch for Metal Minded in your house at the same time that we'll go into the episode.
That feels good to have that shout out. But first off, awesome to see you guys from Abysmal Dawn. Like Matt was saying, I'm from Metal Minded, and we've been doing reviews and podcasts for a year, and you guys were actually one of our first reviews, so pretty cool to talk to you guys. We have Metal Minded In Your House coming at the end of the month. We have our first official live stream out of Quebec, pretty much only. We only have one band out of Quebec on the whole lineup. So that's going to be pretty fun. And I feel like my question is not going to be funny like everyone else's. So I feel out of place here asking a legitimate good question. But I mean, I like to ask my guests on my podcast this question because I feel it's very appropriate for 2020, 2021. But how do you feel a band keeps being in the spotlight? Like, how do you keep a band important during these really hard times? Like, how do you feel a band pushes through all of this crap to be like, yeah, we can still be successful, right?
I think that's a problem that we're still trying to figure out ourselves. It kind of relates to the question that was asked earlier about how do we still connect with our fans. Obviously, I think social media is a big part of that. Probably bigger than what a lot of other bands are doing when it comes to like live shows. I don't know, or like online shows. I don't really know how people feel about that, but I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. I don't know, Charles.
I mean, define important and successful, I guess, you know.
I would use the word maybe even relevant. Like, a band stays in the spotlight while being like, you know, even if it's a small band. I mean, what is a good band in 2020, 2021?
Releasing lots of content.
I was going to say the same shit you liked before. It's still a good band. But I mean, as far as, I don't know, what's constantly in the spotlight and promoted, I don't know. I can tell you. I mean, I know it, like, it just goes back to what we were saying before is how comfortable you are with doing the things that are seemingly required of you in this new age of, you know, not playing shows and just needing to like create content all the time. I was going to say that just me personally, I mean, I have a day job. I don't want to be a fucking content creator on the side. I want to make music that I'm proud of and enjoy. And, I don't know. I get that that's part of the game and we still do a certain amount of it as long as we're, I guess, comfortable and feel like we're not selling our souls, like doing it, you know?
Yeah. Like what I mean is like, I don't mean that every band has to do it or to stay relevant or whatnot, but have you guys maybe even thought of hiring someone to just take care of that entire part for you guys if you don't like it?
We discussed it, but it's like, I don't know. We've just never.
But would it be genuine to your voice?
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, we talk about, like, all right, so maybe we get someone to do our social media for us, you know? But then, like, we still want to approve it, make sure, you know, it's reflecting the band properly or whatever. But yeah.
Up next, we have Emily Harris.
Hello, Alessio and Charles. Long time no see. It's great to see you guys. My question is, what has the pandemic taught you, good or bad? Like, what have you learned in the past year about yourself, about the band, about life, etc.?
I don't know. I think I'd learned that I always need something to keep me busy, to keep me, I guess, happy and moving forward, you know? I don't know. I mean, I've tried to, like, you know, improve myself and not, you know, because boredom's a fucking killer right now, you know. And you can get stuck in that rut of just not knowing what to do with yourself or being stressed out because you want to do all these things at once, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I've learned to deal with that better and in a more healthy way. And yeah, I've just been really busy this whole time, I guess, or especially recently. Alessio?
I've learned to slow down a little bit and kind of appreciate the stuff that I usually take for granted, whether that's like family or friends. Definitely like what I mentioned to Matt earlier, like it's that, and I think a lot of people experience this, right? It's that feeling of time moving by very, very quickly, but also standing still, like forcing you to really ask some tough questions. Just learning to make time for yourself, make time for the people that you really care about, and not be so focused on stuff that's just mindless, just busy work, or just stuff that doesn't really matter, or just things that, you know, if things bug you, taking the time to figure out why they bug you and kind of like moving on. That's kind of what I've learned.
My other question briefly is, if you could tour safely right now, what bands would you want to tour with?
Cryptopsy, obviously. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of bands. I don't know, Alessio.
We've been talking about for a long time. Like, I know we've been wanting to with Surreption. That would be like really sick.
Is there a band out there that you haven't played with that is on the list that you want to play with before they're gone?
Carcass for sure.
Carcass, I yeah. Testament.
Meshuggah.
Meshuggah. Gojira. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're shooting for the stars here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm still recording. Up, we have two more questions, and then I will stop recording, and then we will dance into just Thirsty Thursday. Up next, we have the metal architect himself, Jerry Monk.
All right, my question is, you have all the money you need, all the food you need, you're stranded on a desert island. What album do you take with you?
It's weird, because the albums that I would probably say, I could probably play in my head, like note for note, over and over again, without having them. I don't know, King Diamond, Them, or something.
I'd have to go with something that, like, one of the first ones, you know, that like really made a mark. Probably Heartwork from Carcass.
One last question from the youngest person here, the coolest metalhead that I know, Hollis. Holler at us.
It's really not a question, it's a statement. Okay. Listen,
go
here.
For it, bud.
Have you all seen Eastbound and Down?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it just me, or does Garrity really fucking remind me of Kenny Powers?
Garrity is Kenny Powers.
Yeah, exactly. I've been thinking this the whole time. I just
fucking fired, bro.
You're fucking out. I'm sorry. I just had to make this known.
Pretty sure they based that character off of him.
Oh, yep. They got it from him.
I think he's a little more intelligent than Kenny Powers. I don't think he's going to be talking about, astronomy and shit, or what do you like again? What are you into? What kind of weird shit are you into?
Me? Fucking space and physics?
Like physics and feet shit or something? What is it? Scheiser porn? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I'm into a lot of weird shit, but he's recording again, so we can't talk about it.
On that note, thank you all so much for being with me tonight. This has been the end of the live portion of this interview. We are going to keep hanging out without me recording. Everybody, unmute yourselves. Make some noise for the excellent members of Abysmal Dawn, Alessio, Charles, and I have everyone here. James, please make some noise for the members of Abysmal Dawn right now, everyone. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Celebrate.
All right. So wait. Now that you're not recording, I can tell you
recording.
The story.
Hold
of
on.
How fucking Charles
now. Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. I love Charles and Eliseo. I'm super glad that I had the chance to do this with them. I love the Thirsty Thursday virtual hang gang. If you have not come to a Thirsty Thursday hang yet, this is me asking you right now, join us next month. It is always a blast. This group is filled with wonderful humans. They are some of the nicest people that I've ever met, and I am so glad that I had the chance to meet them all thanks to this pandemic. Honestly, the Thirsty Thursday gang is the best thing that has come out of this pandemic for me. I can't wait for next month. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should most definitely subscribe to the podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, you should take the time to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You should also sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. You can do that on my website, which is voxandhops.com. That is voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all the details for everything that has happened in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast throughout that past week. Do yourself a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. This is a party that you do not want to miss. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I have one more episode coming at you tomorrow, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.